to start from the bottom of Nun Hamid base, two lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, Masiv Rami Bar Chama, Nazir Shehaya Tame Besafek Umuchlat Besafek, Ochel Bekudjim Liachar Shishim Yom, Veshoseyayin Umitame Lamesim Laachar Mea Viesrim Yom. So this seemingly innocuous line is actually extremely complicated. But basically, just to give you a little bit of context, what's going on here, the Gemara earlier was discussing an opinion of Rav Chista, where he basically wanted to claim that the days that a Nazir is also a Mitzora Mukhlat should count towards his Nazirus, and now the Gemara is questioning that premise. Now, in order to understand this case in the Gemara, we also need a little bit more background. So we know that if a person is a Nazir and also a Mitzora, we know that, of course, a Nazir is not allowed to shave, and a Mitzora has an obligation to shave twice, once at the beginning of his Tzaras, and then once at the conclusion, which is minimally 7 days later, what's called the Yemei Sfiro. So however, the problem is, if a person is only a Suffolk Mitzora, so the obligation for a Suffolk Mitzora to shave does not override the prohibition against a Nazir shaving. So in this particular case, you have a guy who's a Nazir, so we know he's a Nazir, and now there's a Suffolk whether he became Tamei Lameis, that's the first Suffolk, and there's also a Suffolk whether he's a Mitzora Mukhlat. So the Gemara says that there are several halachos that emanate from that status. The first is that he's not allowed to eat karbanos, he can't eat kachim for 60 days. What's the logic behind that? So again, if you look at the Rishonim here, they basically explain that he has to essentially wait until the period where he's for sure no longer a Mitzora, and he's for sure no longer Tameh. He needs to wait for those times to lapse before he's able to then consume kachim. Then the Gemara says that in terms of the prohibitions of drinking wine and being Matameh Lameis that are typically associated with the Nazir, so those he has to wait 120 days before he's able to do. And again, the logic basically is that he needs to make sure that his period of possibly being Tameh is over, then he has to restart his Nazirus and count again at least 30 days, and then he has to wait for all the periods of Tzaras to be over to bring his Karbanos. Again, the idea basically is he has to wait for all of these possible time periods to lapse before he can then consume wine and be Matami Lameis as a regular person could. Then the Gemara says, V'sani Allah, Bamed Dvarim Amurim Benazirus Muetes, Avo Benazirus Bas Shana Ochel Bekudshim Liachar Shtei Shana Bishos Hayayin So the Gemara basically just does the math here. The Gemara says that these halachas that we just mentioned are assuming that we're talking about a short-term 30-day Nazirus. But let's say the guy took a neder to be a Nazir for a year, so then he just bumped the numbers up. It's the same ratio, so you would say that he has to wait a full year before he can consume kachim. He has to wait a full 2 years before he can be Matami Lameis or drink wine. It's the same concept, but just the numbers are bumped up. So this is where the Gemara brings the question. The Isalka Daitach Salkin Leyome Tiske Le B'Shalosh If Rav Chista is correct that the days when a person is a Mitzora Mukhlat can count towards his days of Nazirus, why does the person have to wait a full 4 years before he can be Matami Lameis or drink wine, again, to account for all of the possible variations of being a Nazir Tamei and being Mitzora Mukhlat and all those things? Why can't he suffice by counting 3 years and a month? In other words, if you really believed that his days as a Mitzora Mukhlat factor into when he's a Nazir, he shouldn't have to wait the full 4 years. That's the first question. V'od Masiv Ravashi, Ainli Eli Yemei Tuma She'in Olo Min Haminyin, Yemei Chiluto Minai. Now, we already know that when a person, let's say we know for a fact that a Nazir became Tamei, We know that with 100% certainty. So those days when he's Tameh obviously don't count towards his Nazirus. They actually end the Nazirus, and then once he becomes Tor, he has to restart the Nazirus. How do I know that when a person is a Mitzora Mukhla, that those days also don't count towards his Nazirus? So the Gemara says, Vidinu, it's logical. Yimei Tumah Megaleachu Mevi Karban, Vimei Chiluto Megaleachu Mevi Karban. Ma Yimei Tumaso Ein Olo Min Aminyin, Naf Yimei Chiluto Ein Olo Min Aminyin. The Gemara says very simply that the two are very, very similar. In other words, the time period when a Nazir becomes Tameh, and the period where he becomes a Mitzora have very similar salient features. Namely, you have to shave, you also have to bring a karban. So the Gemara says, just as when a Nazir becomes Tameh, those days don't count towards his Nazirus, so presumably the same should be true when he becomes a Mitzora. So the Gemara rejects that. The Gemara says, lo, ima marta bimei tumaso shekin mevatel behenes akodmim, tomar bimei chiluto shein mevatel behenes akodmim. The Gemara says that there's a big difference between the days when a Nazir becomes Tameh versus him being a Mitzora. Namely, when he becomes Tameh, those days undermine or nullify his previous count of being a Nazir, whereas when he becomes a Mitzora, it doesn't nullify anything. So the Gemara says maybe the two are actually very, very different. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Amarta kal v'chomeru, uma nazir bekever, shesairo roi l'siglachas, nizirus in ololo min haminyin, yimei chiluto, she'in saro roi l'siglachas, nizirus l'kol shekin. So then the Gemara pushes back on that and says that, let's say, for example, you have a person who made a neder to become a nazir while in a cemetery. So we actually discussed this case earlier in the Masechet and also back in Maseches Nedarim. And the Gemara says that if a nazir made a neder to become a nazir while in the cemetery, he's theoretically able to shave. His hair is fit for shaving. In contrast, the Gemara, and yet the halacha is that those days when he's tamei do not count towards his days of Naziras. So then the Gemara says that when it comes to his days as being a Metzora Mukhlat, where he's not allowed to shave, in other words, where his hair is not fit for shaving of Naziras, because again, while he's a Metzora, he has an obligation to shave, as opposed to a Nazir who has an obligation to let his hair grow out. So the Gemara says, Kal v'chomer, I would have said that his days as a Metzora should not factor in, should not count towards his days of being a Nazir. So then the Gemara clarifies further. Ve'ein li ela yemei chiluto, yemei sfiro minayin. The Gemara says, I only know that this is true for what's called the yemei chiluto, the beginning of a person's stage as a Metzora Mukhlad. So those days do not count towards his Nazir. What about the yemei sfiro? The yemei sfiro are the days that you count after you've been confirmed as a Metzora, while you're quarantined outside of the Machaneh, you have to count those days. And again, you have to shave at the end, minimally 7 days after you've been confirmed as a Metzora. How do I know that those days that you count towards being a Metzora, in other words, until the end of your Tzaras, also don't factor in to your days of Naziras? So again, the Gemara says, V'dinhu, ma yemei chiluto ton tiglachas, af yemei sfiro. Ma yemei chiluto ein olam omen haminin, af yemei sfiro. So the Gemara says that just as your days as a Metzora Mukhlad, they require you to shave. That's one of the halachos of being a Metzora. You have to shave your hair off. The same is true for the Yemei Sfiro. Again, as we keep on pointing out, a Metzora has to shave twice. He shaves once in the beginning of his Tzaras, and then once minimally 7 days later at the conclusion of his Tzaras. And the Gemara says, just as at the beginning of his Tzaras, those days don't count towards Naziris, the same should be true for the Yemei Sfiro, for the days that he counts towards the conclusion of his Tzaras. So then the Gemara says, Yachol af Yemei Hes Geirokin. I would have said that the same should not only be true for the two stages of a Metzora Mukhla, the beginning and the end of his count, but even for a Metzora Musgar. A Metzora Musgar is a person who is quarantined so that we can determine whether he's a Metzora in the first place. It's a much lower level than a Metzora Mukhlat. So I would have said that the days when you're counting to determine whether you're a Metzora at all, perhaps those also should not count towards Naziras. And in fact, the Gemara says, V'hadin no sein. Logic would have dictated that that should be the case. Why? Because Chalot Metami Mishkav Moshav, Vimei Heskero Metami Mishkav Moshav. So the Gemara says, because there's a salient feature that is common between a Metzora Musgar and a Metzora Mukhlat. What question? No? Okay. So again, the Gemara says that the commonality between a Metzora Mukhlat and a Metzora Musgar is the fact that they're both what's called Metame Mishkav Umosha. This is a term that we spoke about many, many times in the past, which basically just means that when a person who's Tame of a certain degree, a Zav, a Zava, a Nida, a Metzora, so if they sit on something, if they lie down on something, a couch, a bed, a chair, something of that nature, they make it Tame. So the Gemara says that that degree of Tuma is the same whether you're a Metzora Musgar or you're a Metzora Mukhlat. So the Gemara says that those halachos are common between the two. So the Gemara says, "Im lamata limei chiluto she'ein olam lo min haminyan af yemei haskero ein olam lo min haminyan." So I would have said that just as the days as of a Metzora Mukhlat do not count towards his days of Naziras, so presumably the same should have been true for his days as a Metzora Musgar. To which the Gemara says, "Amarta lo im amarta bimei chiluto she'ein chiluto ta'un tiglachas umevi karban lafichach ein olin tomar bimei haskero she'ein ta'un tiglachas ve'ein umevi karban lafichach yalu laminyan." The Gemara says that there's a big difference between the days of a Metzora Mukhlat versus a Metzora Musgar, which is that a Metzora Musgar does not shave, and a Metzora Musgar does not bring karbano. So the Gemara says maybe that's the reason why, as a Metzora Mukhlat, those days cannot count towards your Naziras, because they're so fundamentally different than being a Nazir. Nazir is not allowed to shave, and a Metzora Mukhlat has to shave, and he has to bring these karbanos, whereas a Metzora Musgar does not. So perhaps one could have argued that the days as a Metzora Musgar can count towards your Naziras, but not the days as a Metzora Mukhlat. So the Gemara says, Mikan Amru, Yemei Sfiro, Vimei Gamro, Ein Olam Lo Min Aminyan, Aval Yemei Hazava Hazava, the Heskeroshom Metzora, Hare Elu Olinlo. So the Gemara basically concludes based on this idea that when you're a Metzora Mukhlat, whether at the beginning or the end of the stages of a Metzora Mukhlat, those days do not count towards your Naziras. But if you have some other kind of Toma, you're a Zav, you're a Zava, you're only a Metzora Musgar, those days will in fact count towards your days of Naziras. So what's the point of all this? The Gemara says, Katani Nias, Lo, Imamarta Bime Toma Shekin Mevatel Behenas Akonmin, Tomar Bime Chiluto. The Gemara drew a contrast earlier between the days of being a Nazir Tame, where we said that those days nullify the previous count, versus being a Metzora Mukhlat, where they don't. So the Gemara clarifies, B'mai, Ilema ben Naziris Muetes, Habinim Gidol Seir. If we're talking about a short-term Naziris of only 30 days, so there's a requirement that you have to let the hair grow out in the first place. As we've spoken about many times also in the past in this Masechta, hair growth presupposes at least 30 days. So if you don't have 30 days of hair growth, then there's nothing to talk about shaving at the end of that period anyway. So the Gemara says, Elalav ben Naziris Merubah, Vikatane, She'in Minyan, Olam and Haminyan, Alma Lo Salkin Le, Shma Mina. So it must be that, therefore, says the Gemara, that we're talking about a much longer term Nazirus. Like the Gemara gave the case on the previous Sama, the guy who said, I'm going to be a Nazir for a full year, and yet the Gemara says that those days do not count towards his Nazirah. So the Gemara says you can conclude from here that the days as a Metzora Mukhlat, whether it's the beginning of the Metzora Mukhlat or the end of the Metzora Mukhlat, do not count towards your days of Nazirah. Okay, now moving on to slightly less complicated topics. Says the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Eliezer Mishrim Rabbi Yehoshua, Kol Tuma Min Hamis Shenazir Megaleach Aleha Chayavin Aleha Al Bias Mikdash V'Kol Tuma Min Hamis She'en HaNazir Megaleach Aleha Ein Chayavin Aleha Al Bias Mikdash. A very, very straightforward rule. Any type of Tuma that emanates from a mace, we spoke a lot about the details of this earlier in the Masechta, but any type of Tumah that basically requires a Nazir to shave and to end his Nazirus because it's considered a severe enough form of Tumah, that would also obligate a person who entered into the Beis HaMikdash. We know that there's an Isser to enter the Beis HaMikdash while you're Tumah. If you do, you're Chayav Kareis, you have to bring Karbanos for it. So the Mishnah says that basically any type of Tumah that is severe enough that it would require a Nazir to shave and restart his Nazirus would also obligate a person who came into contact with that type of Tumah from entering the Mikdash, and of course vice versa. Then the Mishnah says, Amar Rabbi Meir, lo tehezo kala min hasheretz. Comes Rabbi Meir and makes this kind of sweeping declaration and says that these laws should not be any less stringent than the laws of a sheretz. What does that mean? So we know, that, of course, that a nazir only has to shave and end his nazirah specifically for tumas meis, not for other forms of tumah. So if a nazir, for example, came into contact with the sheretz, so then he would not have to restart his nazirahs. But if a person entered the mikdash while tumah with tumas sheretz, that would be a problem. So Rabbi Meir seems to be somehow disputing the application of this rule. Again, the Gemara is going to clarify what Rameir means in a second. Okay, so the Gemara says,
the Tumah that you're talking about, less of a status of Tumas Meis is what we did last week?
We spoke about all those details, about if it's, you know, a quarter kav of blood from multiple mesim and the bones, all those details we spoke about last week, exactly. Okay, so the Gemara says, V'Rebbe Eliezer Mishum Rebbe Yehoshua Gamarla, V'ha Mishum Rebbe Yehoshua Bar Mamal Gamarla. So now the Gemara has a very kind of a textual question. The Gemara wants to know, well, who's really the author of this statement in the Mishnah that basically tries to link or corroborate these two halachos that say that, you know, whatever requires a nazir to shave also makes you chayav for entering the mikdash. So the Mishnah seemed to associate that statement with Rabbi Eliezer in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua, and now the Gemara wants to know that really that statement was issued by Rabbi Yehoshua Bar Mamo. How do we know that? Tesanya, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Kisha halachti la'ardaskaya matzasias Rabbi Yehoshua ben Peser Rosha hayoshev vidan lifnei Rameir b'halacha. So he found this Amor whose name was Rabbi Yehoshua ben Peser Rosh. He was sitting and he was adjudicating halacha in front of Rameir, and he said, Kol tuma men hamis shahanazir megaleach aleha chayav alem yishum bias mikdash v'chol tuma men hamis shein hanazir. And again, he's basically just quoting exactly what our Mishnah said. Amar Lo, and Rameir responds with the same line, Al tehezo kala misheretz. This shouldn't be any less significant than the laws of a sheretz. So Amarti Lo, so he responds, Klumata Baki be Rabbi Yehoshua Bar Mamal. He says, are you an expert at the statements of Rabbi Yehoshua Bar Mamal? So it seems to imply that he was the author of this statement in the Mishnah. So Amar Lihain, Kach Amar Li Rabbi Yehoshua Bar Mamal Mishum Rabbi Yehoshua Kultuma Menameis She'enazer Megaleach Aleha Chayav Alem Mishum Bias Mikdash V'Kultuma Menameis She'en HaNazer Megaleach Aleha Ein Chayav Alem Mishum Bias Mikdash. So the Gemara says, isn't this a clear indication, right? Having Mishum Rabbi Yehoshua Bar Mamal Gamer Lo. This seems to prove that Rabbi Yehoshua Bar Mamal was the author of the statement. So the Gemara says, it's a very strange kind of inference from this whole back and forth here, where the Gemara basically says that when there are multiple people who are attributed as having authored a particular statement, you only attribute it to the first and last person and not the guy in the middle. So Rabbi Yehoshua Bar Mamal apparently was like the middleman. He was the person in between the other Amoraim who issued the statement. So for some reason, we don't mention his name. We only mention the other Amoraim. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Afanana Mitnina. Amar Nachum Halavla Kach Mekublani Mi Reb Meisha Shekibul Me Abba Shekibul Men Azugo Shekibul Men Hanaviim Halacha Lemoshe Misinai Bezoreya Sheves Vechardol Bishnayim Ushloshim Mekomos Shenosein Peya Mikolechad Viechad VeIlu Yehoshua Vechalei Loka Chashir Shmamina. The Gemara quotes this idea that we don't mention the middlemen when it comes to certain statements. It quotes a halacha that has absolutely nothing at all to do with anything we've been discussing, to halacha regarding the laws of Peya. The Mishnah Maseches Peya quotes again all these various people. It quotes Nachum Halavla, who had a tradition from Reb Meisha, who got a tradition from the Zugos, who got a tradition from the Nevi'im, who got this halacha l'moshe Sinai, that if a person plants mustard seeds, or he plants cress or dill or whatever it is in two or three places in your garden or in your field, so then you have to give payah from each one. So the Gemara points out that it doesn't mention Yehoshua and Kalev. Yehoshua and Kalev were also the authors of this tradition. So again, the point is that we don't mention the middleman when it comes to these kinds of statements. Fine, says the Mishnah. I'm a Rabbi Akiva. Danti lifnei Rabbi Eliezer. Ma'im etzem kisa ora she'eno metame ad adam ba'ohel had nazir migaleach al maga ovi al masa'o revi is dam shehu metame adam ba'ohel eno din sheyehe had nazir migaleach al maga ovi al masa'a. So comes Rabbi Eliezer and tries to argue the following logic in front of, I'm sorry, comes Rabbi Akiva, tries to argue the following logic in front of Rabbi Eliezer. He says like this: when it comes to the laws of an etzem kisora, a barley sized piece of a mace, so the halacha is, as we already spoke about earlier in the Masechta, that an etzem kisora is only metame b'maga uvemase, if you touch it or carry it, but not if you're merely in the same enclosure. It's not metame b'ohel, and yet the laws, the halacha is that a nazir has to shave for touching or carrying an etzem kisora of a mace. So when it comes to a revius of dam, in other words, a revius of blood from a mace, which is in fact metame ba'ohel, so I would say kal v'chomer, that a nazir has to shave if he touches or comes or carries a revius of blood. So Amar Lisa, Rebbe Eliezer responds, maze akiva, ain't done in kami kal v'chomer. So Rebbe Eliezer rejects this out of hand. He says, you have no right to derive kal v'chomer. Again, these are halacha l'moshe misinai, and generally speaking, you can't invoke logic when it comes to halacha l'moshe misinai. The din is what it is, and you can't start extrapolating, you know, logical inferences from a halacha l'moshe misinai. Uchshabatzi v'hertesi dvar lefnei Rabbi Yehoshua amarli yofe amarta elakein amru halacha. And in fact, when I went to Rabbi Yehoshua and I related what Rabbi Eliezer had said, so he basically said the same thing, because he said this is the halacha l'moshe misinai, and therefore we have no right to extrapolate any sort of a kal v'chomer based on that.